This is Matt Webb.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
So it is now 2:30. It is the first Wednesday of the month, and it is time to reveal which charity we have selected as Cambridge 105 Radio's Charity of the Month for November. And I'm pleased to welcome to the studio today Alanna Taylor from the Cambridgeshire Alliance for Independent Living. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
So first of all, just tell us what you do for the organisation before we talk about the organisation as a whole.
Oh, what do I not do for the organisation? I'm a small charity CEO, so I do everything from managing the staff, managing the accounts, I build the website, I come out and network with people and talk about the charity, I try and raise funds, so yeah, pretty much.
A bit of everything then?
A bit of everything, but it keeps it fresh.
I was about to say, that must mean that you have a very diverse role, so it must keep you on your toes, as it were.
It certainly does, and I work part-time, so it's a very busy job.
Yeah, especially if you're doing sort of part-time hours and all this stuff to do. How do you cram it all in?
I'm incredibly organised.
Your diary's always full, I take it then?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's just a question of trying to delegate wherever I can, which I usually delegate the radio interviews, but I failed this time. Yes, just being organised and prioritising.
So tell us a bit about the Cambridgeshire Alliance for Independent Living. What do you do?
So the Cambridgeshire Alliance for Independent Living works across Cambridgeshire. We work with people primarily. Those people have disabilities or are people with caring responsibilities, so informal carers, family carers, unpaid carers. And we also work with older people. And we don't do any service provision, so we don't do things for people, we do things with people. So we find out how it is to live in Cambridgeshire as, you know, one of those people with a disability, a carer or an older person. And we look at where it's difficult, where it's, you know, there are barriers coming up, where services aren't coming up to scratch. And we kind of challenge that and say, well, why isn't this good enough? How can we make this better? And where there are amazing services, because there are some really good things going on, we champion those and fight to kind of keep them.
When you say barriers, what sort of barriers have people been telling you that they've been facing locally?
All sorts of different things. It can be things like physical barriers. So, for example, if you look at trying to get down Mill Road, where we are in a wheelchair, it's very, very physical, difficult. There could be attitudinal barriers. So we get a lot of people who have problems because people don't understand their condition. People make assumptions about their conditions. The sort of number of people suffering from disability hate crimes is increasing. So there's all sorts of different things, and some of them are very subtle.
What do you think's fueling the increase in disability hate crime in particular? Is it just society today?
I think there's just a kind of misunderstanding of what a disability is. And I think we don't help ourselves in society. So if we think about, you know, people who are disabled, we think about the blue badge symbol, for example. It's a person in a wheelchair. Now, 10% of people, or less than 10% of people who have a disability, use a wheelchair. So we're kind of reinforcing a picture that isn't really there. So I can talk from personal experience. I had a blue badge previously because of my disability. I parked in the Grand Arcade car park, and somebody saw me walk to my car. I was on my own, kind of young female on my own, and I walked up to my car and I got in and I started reversing, and they started hitting the roof of my car and shouting at me because they didn't think I was disabled.
They automatically put two and two together and came up with six by the sound of things there.
And they were quite angry and they were quite violent. And from my point of view, that was quite scary. And that was when I started to think, you know, what is going wrong with this? And primarily it is just misunderstanding.
Do you think it's also down to the fact that the media portray disability in quite often a negative light in a lot of cases, or they'll use it as a tick box exercise just to feature something on the news rather than going into the depths of what physical disabilities are and the fact that some of them you can't see?
Yeah, I think there's all sorts of different reasons that that this kind of level of hate crime is increasing and that the media is portraying it in a certain way. I think it's quite difficult because I don't know how you would portray an unseen disability, because by definition it's unseen. So it's very easy to go down the route of, we'll put someone in a wheelchair on screen and that counts.
I suppose, or it's the same with people with mental health problems. It's a disability that people don't necessarily see, but people suffer from.
Absolutely, and the same with autistic spectrum conditions and learning disabilities, lots of kind of invisible disabilities like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, all those different things.
And when it comes to your organisation, you must support people all around Cambridge, but do you cover Cambridgeshire as well?
The whole of Cambridgeshire, and wherever possible we try and make sure that things happen in areas that are local to people, because obviously transport is a big issue for people in Cambridgeshire.
I suppose, yeah, getting people out and about is really important to increase their well-being, especially if they have got a disability.
Yes, and it's very difficult when things like, you know, guided buses don't all have audio announcements, for example. So for people with visual impairments, it's quite challenging. Buses quite often don't have good access. So if you get, you know, a couple of wheelchair users from the same village who want to go to an event, they can't always get on the same bus. Things like that. So transport is quite a big issue in Cambridge, and we do a lot of work on that. We have a transport focus group. Where we kind of collect those difficulties and try and come up with solutions and work with the providers.
I was about to say, do you feed them back to operators like Stagecoach and people like
that?
And the City Council in particular, the greater Cambridge Partnership, I think it is now. It used to be the City Deal.
Yes, absolutely. We do quite a lot of work. Recently, we've been doing some work with the station. So we had a big meeting. People with lots and lots of different disabilities up at the main Cambridge station, and then we're also doing something at Cambridge North just to look at some of the access issues, some of the staff training issues, some of the physical kind of environmental things in terms of there's one part, for example, where the pavement gently slopes down and becomes the road. For a wheelchair user, that's fantastic. You know, they can slide, you know, glide onto the road nice and easily. They're not dealing with a curb. For a guide dog, it doesn't know where to stop.
Yeah,
so they're trained to stop at a curb. So
those are the sorts of things that you often forget, actually.
And planners don't necessarily know. And if they don't ask, you know, if they don't come to an organisation like ours, where we can take all of those points of view on board, then they just miss things. They think, oh, I've ticked that box. It, you know, again, it fits the wheelchair. It's fine.
That's right. And obviously, being a charity, fundraising is a really important part of what you do. Now, you've got something called the Cambridge Calling Volume 2 CD. Just tell us what that is.
So that is a CD that someone here at Cambridge 105 has kindly produced for us. It's local artists. I believe it was a couple of years since you had Cambridge Calling Volume 1.
Yes, it was. It's the Davy Hammond Smelly Flower Pots that's been putting this together.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's right.
So yes, he's kindly done a second edition and it's raising money for us. November through to December is Disability History Month, so we have a big funding push at this time of year, and he's going to be getting that out and about, and we'll be taking it out with us and selling it. You know, it makes a fantastic Christmas present, and hopefully we'll be selling lots of copies and making lots of money.
Certainly sold it to me. And also the Give As You Live boxes, what are these?
That's two separate things. So Give As You Live is a way of shopping online. So it basically means you go through the Give As You Live site, and every time you kind of purchase something, a very small percentage of that comes to us. So very much like you get the kind of ones with Quidco or things like that, where you get money back for yourself. Doing it this way, Give As You Live, we're a registered charity with them, so you just tick that you want to give it to CALE, so Cambridgeshire Alliance for Independent Living, and that money comes to us. Collecting boxes is our kind of challenge for the month. We have 26 collecting boxes that we want to get placed. We've already had one kind of run of collecting boxes. We've got 26, and I brought one in with me today, so I'm leaving that one here.
Excellent. So if you want to come down to our studios here on the Gwydir Street Enterprise Centre and drop some money, you are most welcome to.
Yep, they're very identifiable because they're bright blue, so you can't miss them. And there's a couple of places that have already taken them, so places like the Castle Inn on Castle Hill. Matt there has been fantastic. They've already brought in over £100 just from having collecting box on the bar. So we're asking people not to take them forever, but just to take them for November, December to cover Disability History Month and just help raise some funds that way.
And of course, people don't remember or necessarily know that it's Disability History Month. Just tell us, give a bit of an insight into what that is.
So it happens every year. It usually happens after Black History Month. And that has quite a high profile, actually, relatively speaking. Disability History Month each year has a theme. So this year the theme is disability in art. And there are different events sort of happening around the city. We're planning a civic event. There's usually a big event at the Meadows. And it's just about looking at some of the challenges around disability, but also kind of celebrating the good stuff about, you know, people who have disabilities who've achieved all sorts of things.
I mean, when it comes to art and creative things, often people with disabilities, whether it be physical disabilities or mental health problems, can have such hidden talents that often don't get to be shown. So being able to showcase that must be really good for you.
Absolutely. And as I said before, people with disabilities are just people. You know, some of us are great at art, some of us are rubbish.
I think I fall into the latter category
yep,
for that.
Me too.
If people want to find out more information and get in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we have a free phone number, so we're on 0300 111 2301, so you can phone us up. You can pop down to the office. We're in Fenn House in Chesterton, so we're quite easy to find. Or you can go on our website, which is simply www.cail.org.uk.
CAIL.org.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Well, Alan, it's been fantastic talking to you and some of your colleagues. And will we have some people using your service coming in across the month as well to have,
yep,
have chats?
Yeah, you've got different people popping in, I think, talking about some of our different project work, some of the different things that we've found out, and some of the different resources that we've got available to help raise awareness of disabilities.
Excellent stuff. We'll look forward to that. But for now, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.